Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've got a really delightful conversation now because joining us in the studio is Gregory Maguire. Now, you know him from his reimagining of fairy tales from Cinderella to Snow White to Alice in Wonderland. And of course, there's his novel Wicked about the early life of the Wicked Witch of the West, which was the basis for the smash Broadway musical. Well, now Maguire is taking on a holiday classic, The Nutcracker. His newest novel is called Hidden Sea, and it fills in the origin story of Herr Drosselmeyer, the toy maker who carves the enchanted figure in The Nutcracker. And Gregory Myers with us, Maguire, is with us in the studio. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here.
It's really a pleasure to have you. All right. What is it about The Nutcracker that you thought needed the Maguire treatment?
I think probably it's that The Nutcracker has always spooked me, both as an implement, as a part of holiday decoration, and also as a story. Meghna, did you go 300 or 400 times to see The Nutcracker when you were a kid?
I'm afraid to say I did not. Actually, I'm one of those weird outliers that didn't go see it a lot. But I know its draw to many, many people.
It is. And it's a wonderful story. But in my estimation, it offers more questions than answers. Now, maybe the best of all fantasy stories should do that because they should leave us wanting more and leaning forward into mystery. That's what literature does for us. But The Nutcracker always seemed to me peculiarly sort of lopsided and gimpy. I wanted to take in the story of The Nutcracker that second act, which unfolds in Fairyland, I guess, or Candyland or someplace. I don't know where it is. They don't have any income taxes there. I know it's perfect. And I wanted to examine why going to a magic land is the proper solution and the proper reward for a girl in the first act who has suffered some sort of either psychic breakdown or some sort of real fight with the King of the Mice.
Yeah. So you do that. You explore that through telling the story of Herr Drosselmeyer. But why him? I mean, because I was reading one reviewer saying that they kind of wish you'd applied your talents to telling the story of the Nutcracker, the soldier himself.
Yes, the soldier himself or the Sugar Plum Fairy, people have asked me to. And I said, well, who knows? There can be sequels. You never know. But Herr Drosselmeyer seems to me the biggest puzzle in the story. If you didn't see it multiple times, you might not know that he's characteristically figured with an eye patch over one eye. And he's tall and leering and a little menacing. He seems to know more than the girl's own parents. And I began to think, where did he come from? How did he get to have the leverage in this family that he seems to have?
Right. So I was wondering if you could do us the great favor of reading a little bit from Hidden Sea. This is early in the book where we start getting glimpses as to why Herr Drosselmeyer became who he is.
Exactly. And I will say that in this scene, he doesn't even have a last name yet. He's just a foundling boy in a Bavarian forest at the beginning of the 19th century. So here's the section. Dirk awoke one night to the sound of muttering below. He rolled on his pallet of straw in the loft and put his ear to a crack in the boards. The old man was fighting with the old woman. Dirk picked out a few words. Necessary? Feeble? Scarcity. Whispering can disguise the shape of syllables, but not of mood. Dirk heard fear and blaming. It reminded him of something, but of what did he have experience? But this hut in the black shrouded forest, these two elderly keepers. Only the occasional Bible story that Pappy read slowly by firelight. Elijah in disguise. Isaac and Abraham. Or the tales that the old woman told. Of the goose that laid the golden eggs. Of the 12 brothers turned into swans. Of the stepmother who stewed her children and served them to her husband for supper. A thin catalogue by which to reference human charity and suffering. The old woman's sniveling gave way at last to an aching silence. None of the old man's heavy snoring, which meant he was lying awake, uncomforted, staring into the dark. In the morning, the old man said, Dirk, Today I will take you into the forest and teach you to fell a tree. It is time. He did not say what it was time for. Dirk had always wanted to go with the old man and learn his skill. The old woman had always forbidden it. Today she turned to the iron pot over the hearth and said nothing, neither blessing the day's plan nor prohibiting it. Before they left, she wrapped bread and cheese in a muslin and pressed it into Dirk's hands. "Mind your way forward and find your way back," she said to them once they were over the threshold and through the gate. Did her voice quaver because her little foundling was growing up? Dirk wondered. He glanced back. She was not there, waving.
Wow. That is Gregory Maguire reading an excerpt from Hidden Sea, a tale of the once and future Nutcracker. So, if people couldn't already tell, my guess is if this gets made into another smash Broadway hit, it's not necessarily for the same kids who would go see the Nutcracker, right?
Well, I'm ready. The lines are opening.
But this is dark, right? And we got a hint in this passage of the fact that you've written this very much like a, is it fair to say, like a Grimm's Brothers tale?
Yes, it is fair to say that. Indeed, when I began my research, I found out that the original story of the Nutcracker by E.T.A. Hoffman, was published in 1816, which was only 2 or 3 years after the first edition of the first collection of the Grimm's Tales was published in German. The Grimms were collecting 1808, 1810, 1811, and Hoffman's tale of the story of the Nutcracker and the Mouse King was published in 1816. So I think Hoffman, like so many other German romantic writers, began to drink deeply from the well of folkloric passages and tropes and characters and begin to make something new out of them. It's really where we get literary fantasy from.
Right. So literary fantasy is one of those things which I think forces us to ask a question or maybe find an answer to a question which I know that you've asked. And I just want to, this is a quote from something that you've written. You've written, "Is it only in childhood that we are capable of taking in the whole world? What does it do to us that we briefly have that privilege? And then what harm when the fund of novelty and human experience runs dry?"
I'm going to start crying at that idea. But we do, in fact, have this experience before, let's say before hormones, before we're 14 or 15, we have this experience of apprehending the mystery of the world, both through our senses, which are more or less scientific, and through our dreams and our more imaginative experiences. Our job as a sane human being is to learn to integrate both apprehensions, and that's what we hope to do. But in the integration, sometimes we do have to sacrifice something that, for lack of a better word, we might call faith, we might call magic.
And then as adults, though, there's that longing to return to definitive moments in our childhood, though, right? Because in the book, it seems as if one of the characters' lives, either you state it directly or you imply this return, because it's the life is represented by a walnut, right?
Yes, yes.
And to crack that walnut is to...
It's true. And it's, in a sense, the walnut, the instrument for which the Clara and the mice are fighting, holds the secret of childhood. Mm-hmm. When we outgrow childhood, what we have left is something that is too often locked away inside of us. I think art and mental sanity help us to open the walnut of our childhood experiences.
What is your walnut?
Oh, that is that's got to be for a different that's got to be for a different hour. No, I will say, in fact, I people who know me have known this. My mother died when I was born in childbirth. And my father put me in an orphanage for a while he was beginning to see how he could cope and survive and if he could. And so as I'm now the man in my sixth decade, or is it my seventh, I go back and I think that is the beginning of every fairy tale in the world. Hmm. That is There's no wonder in my mind that when I went to the library, I never really graduated out of the fairy tale section. There was something about children whose mothers died in childbirth and had to make their own way that seemed to me like a biographical outline of my life.
Well, I'm pausing here because I wanted to say that I'm sorry for the difficulties that you had as a child, but I also want to say that you have managed to transform that into magic and wonder through your writing for the rest of us.
Well, so isn't that what a hero is supposed to do? Bring back a boon. And I thank you so much for reading my work and for admiring it. And just before the music, I'll say I had a very happy childhood, okay, despite all that.
I'm delighted to hear that. But Gregory Maguire, the new book is Hidden Sea, A Tale of the Once and Future Nutcracker. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Meghna.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.